G'day, Hope Valley. So good to be with you as we sit in this lockdown, and yet we are still God's people and we are able to worship. I have been praying for you every day and thinking of you in these challenging circumstances, as we have fortunately haven't had to experience this too much in South Australia as a lockdown, but here we are. And I have been praying for you because I know it impacts you in different ways. And as your pastor, I know that some of you are having to deal with this in challenging circumstances. Some of you are working very hard right now. I think about our educators and students who are having to work in different situations. I know some of you are business owners and this is impacting you in a very real way. Some of you, you're having to go into isolation. You're already living on your own. I know this impacts you as well. So in all the range of ways that this lockdown is affecting you, please know that God is for us, and my prayers as well. We're starting a new 10-week series on Secrets from the Mountain. And to be honest with you, I don't know anyone who doesn't have some sort of mountain to climb. It could be that you're facing a health challenge. Or it could be that the challenge for you right now, the mountain, is just surviving this lockdown and you're trying to make the most of it. Others of you have financial stress, and that's a mountain for you that kind of imposes itself on your life often and every day. Or it could be that the mountain that you want to climb is developing a friendship further or building that. Or it could be that there is a mountain and it's simply a dream that you wish to fulfill. Whatever there is, I believe every one of us would have a mountain in some way. The thing is, right, anytime a mountain presents itself before us, remains there ready to be climbed. However, we can find ourselves in a position where we can choose to take the mountain on or put up stumps and camp simply in its shadow. Last year, about this time of year, we as a family had the caravan hooked on and we're coming back from the Eyre Peninsula, and we spent a magical night at the base of Mount Remarkable in the Melrose Showgrounds. Now, it's a beautiful, beautiful little campsite there, but what you are so aware of is the imposing presence of Mount Remarkable right behind you. And what actually happened was that because it sits on the western side of the campground, it felt like the sun set early on us, and the sun dipped down and the chill set in really early. That feels like a little bit of a metaphor for what a mountain can be in your life. It can be an imposing presence that can cast a shadow across you, can even bring a chill. Or it can be something where you look at it and go, we can summit that together. Anytime you choose to face the mountain, you begin to discover the secrets that those who have overcome, dreamt big, or summited a challenge, or have built incredible resilience have discovered. And we're going to be unlocking these together over the coming weeks. Now, I'm aware that it comes to us as the people of South Australia, and particularly this northeastern pocket of Adelaide, that we have to buckle down and be in a lockdown, which is ironic because the very first message in this series is live large. But it's because of this, you might have some time to think a little more, to think a little bit more down the track, to take stock of where you're at, to maybe meet some challenges right now. It could be that there's a mountain that you want to combat and face. I was just aware that Nicola Spurrier, she's doing such a wonderful job, the Chief Health Officer here for South Australia. And she said this. She said, the most important thing for people in South Australia to do today is basically to not move, because the virus can only move if people move. So clean out your sock drawer, watch Netflix, or do something nice around the house. Well, I'd say, yeah, you can do all those things. And maybe if you can, enjoy a little bit of the space that this gives. But I would encourage you before God to consider more than just cleaning out your sock drawer, watching Netflix, or doing something nice around the house. We're going to explore what it means to combat the mountain, to take it on. You see, I love seeing people reach for their potential and purpose. And I believe it honors the God who is within them, the God who is much bigger than us, the one who calls us to magnify Christ in our lives, calls us to live beyond ourselves, to live large. So the number one idea as we explore this live large idea is, do you actually know what the mountains are in your life? Have you identified them? So if you don't know what you're facing, you will not know where to even start or how to start taking it on. You might say to me, Kynan, Pastor Kynan, if you really want to get serious about it, that is easy. The mountains in my life, I can just list them off one after another. My back hurts. My kids, though I love them, are driving me crazy. I'm financially being crippled at the moment. I'm getting increasingly anxious. And you can have all your mountains kind of sit there in these challenges, which, let's be honest, aren't kingdom challenges. They're just challenges of life and can be kind of negative in this. But what I want you to encourage you to do is to face these and then tackle them with courage and resilience, yes. But there are also other mountains that if you identify these can actually make the mountains which just impress upon themselves and our lives kind of diminish. And if you tackle these kingdom mountains that God might give you, they can make these other mountains in your life feel more like the green hills of the Barossa Valley and reduce their dominance in your life. These mountains are the ones that cause you to live with purpose, to live with determination, and bring out the best of who you are. They are the God-given dreams and visions and goals that you set for yourself before the one who calls you to live large. You know, Jesus said a pretty startling thing about mountains and about faith. In Matthew 17, 20, he said to them, "Because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you." Friends, we are a people of faith who believe in a God who can do the miraculous and the impossible, who can turn mountains into molehills, but who also can bring God-sized mountains before us that will invite us to climb and to grow and to step out in faith. You know, in Isaiah 49, 11, God says, "And I'll make all my mountains a road." This says to us that God will make a way. Every mountain you attempt to climb is God's mountain. He owns it. And any place you set your foot, you're on his property. You may see the mountain that rises before you as an obstacle or barrier to where you want to get, but in God's hands, it becomes a road through which you need to grow and indeed travel. God gives us kingdom challenges for us to discover and pursue. And each time he does, he calls us essentially to live large. That is to live beyond ourselves in some way. Remember last week I was talking about the overflow, that's what it means to be filled? Well, this is the overflow. It is to live large, more than just who we are in our own natural state, but have the supernatural speak to us and live in that way. So number one, the living large, is identify your mountain or mountains, but especially make sure you have a mountain that is a God-given assignment. If you can record it somewhere, write it down, or share with someone, it's important, once you've identified it, to make it known. And after you've identified what your mountain is, you want to take it on. And remember these important lessons in taking on a mountain. It's okay to fail, and don't be afraid to start. You know, I believe God is gracious with us for a reason. He doesn't want one setback to knock us off our perch, but for that to be something we can grow through and try again. It is sad to think of some of the potential that has been lost because someone didn't try again after the first setback. It could be that you want to pursue a dream or a calling or tackle a kingdom-sized mountain or set yourself a challenge to grow or change, but previous failures or setbacks have tarnished your confidence. What that means is that you've gone back into your shell. Well, I believe that God wants us to live large, to tackle the mountain. So God could be calling you to emerge and live more fully and courageously than you are. Don't worry about failing. Get up and have another shot. You know, failure isn't final. It is just one more way you have learnt or another thing that you have grown through. This is what happens if sometimes we have a mountain before us. We're standing in its shadow. We're at the base. We know what it is. Fear can overwhelm us. It can grip us. You know what fear does? It freezes us, or indeed overwhelms us so much that we feel like it's surrounding everything we do. But facing a mountain of any type is actually about facing your fear. And if you don't face your fears, you won't even start. That's why the scriptures are so full about not being afraid. Even those disciples, when they're in that locked room, and Jesus comes and appears to them, he says, do not be afraid. He says, you don't belong in this locked room. You belong out in the world, taking on the mountains. Do not fear. I will be with you. Pat Williams, who wrote the book that we are referencing a little bit through this series called Secrets from the Mountains, he talks of a time where he was running behind a woman in a marathon. Now, he took up a marathon when he was quite older in age. It was a mountain that he wanted to tackle. And this woman who was in front of him had a t-shirt and she was wearing it. And on the back of the t-shirt that he was reading, it said this: the miracle isn't that I finished. The miracle is that I had the courage to start. You know, in the scriptures, Paul writes to the believers in Philippi, in Philippians 1:6, he says this: and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. You see how the two came together? That there is something which God wants to bring to completion within us, to live large in the fullness and the potential that God has for us. But you won't even get that unless you start. That is why God helps us to deal with our fears and our failures, so that we can get started, so that we can finish the race, scale the mountain, be fulfilled, and live large. You actually do have to start when it comes to facing the mountain. Well, I don't think we're designed just to camp in its shadow, whatever mountain that is, whether something which is quite negative or a big goal. You're not there just to camp in its shadow. You need to tackle it. A friend of mine once said, beginning is half done. He said, just get started. Just get moving. Face up to what it is and move forward. You know, I live in this beautiful part of Hope Valley, and we're graced with an incredible view off the back of our deck, which looks out of over Hope Valley. Friends, this is the place where I often pray for you and think of you and dream about what we can do for the kingdom of God and reaching our community and how God can build us up. But as I had built this deck, I had for many years looked across the valley and saw Black Hill emerging on the horizon. And it sits there, and I'd sit in there, I'd look at it, and I'd see this hill, for the sake of this sermon, a mountain, and I would think, wow, I wonder what it would take to walk from here and to the top of Black Hill and back. And it sat with me for a number of years, until one morning I just woke up and I looked across and I saw Black Hill there. I saw some grey clouds coming in, but I looked at my schedule and I was free. I had nothing on. And I went to Rach. I said, Rach, today I'm going to start. And she said, start what? I said, I'm going to walk from here to top of Black Hill and back again. She said, right now, yeah, I'm just going to begin. I'm just going to get going, get started. I'm going to take on that mountain. And so I put on my sneakers, put on a little backpack with a few little snacks and a bit of water. I knew it was going to be wet, so I put on I threw in a waterproof jacket that I could throw on, and I just set off. And Rachel said, well, if you get stuck, make sure you call me. Well, off I went, down the hill, across the River Torrens, up on the other side, found myself up through Amber's Gully, and there I was, found my way all the way up to the summit. And there, I couldn't believe it. I looked back across the valley towards where I live, and I thought, I've actually just gone and done it. This dream which had been sitting there, this idea which had been percolating, this mountain which I wanted to scale, I was there. And then I went, well, I've got to get back. So down past the path, and about halfway down, this weather came in. Oh, wow, it was wet. And as you know, if you live here, that comes up from that southwest and it hits us on this hill's face with sometimes a bit of ferocity, a fairly dumping of rain. And I was drenched. And I got this call from Rach, hey, Kynan, do you want to pick me up? I said, no, not now. I'm going to finish what I've started. And I took it on and I got home. I was wet and drenched. But gee, I was exhilarated because of what I had done. But friends, it started here because I actually began. I just started walking. I got going. I thought, well, I'm not going to fear it. I'm going to get going. There's a mountaineer by the name of Alan Hobson. He writes in his book, From Everest to Enlightenment. He says, there are three steps to learning how to manage our fears. The first is to acknowledge that we are afraid. The second is to focus on the known. And the third is to take action. He said, most of us just get stuck on step two. We focus on the unknown, not the known. Friends, when we get started, just get one step going in front of the next. Focus on what is known, and that will tackle you into the unknown, and you'll be able to scale the mountain that is before you. But it means just getting started, overcoming your fear. So take things one step at a time when you tackle your mountain. Face your fears. You know, we are in a lockdown. We're not sure if it's the beginning or the middle, how long it's going to extend for, whether it's going to come back later on. The big mountain that the world is dealing with is the virus. But you know what? Even over the last 12 to 16 months, while this pandemic has been going on, we've been able to move forward. Yes, there's been a mountain there, but the world has been tackling it, working out ways to overcome, adjusting. Yes, we want to get to a new level of normal, but we've been able to keep moving forward. It's because we've tackled it head on, addressed our fears, taken a step and got going, dealing with the things that we know, and that allows us to deal with the unknown things as they become known to us. So when we think about the mountains that we have, when we think about what it means to live large, here's a few extra thoughts to think about. What can you do today that's going to add value to the future? What is it that you're going to take a step which is going to let you start to tackle the mountain? Think about this. Is there someone that you need to reach out to even, to live large beyond yourself? For when we live our lives for others, we find that the things that concern us actually diminish because God uses us in that way. Or consider this. Rather than just bunkering down, is there a project that you want to explore? Is there a dream that you want to have that you can start? Or could it be that there's one that you have started that you need to complete? And what is it that you can do today that will give you more further down the line? As we bring this short message to a conclusion and lead into communion, I've been thinking through a bit of a challenge that would cause us to live large. It's not enormous, but it is something which we can action within our own lives. And here it is. It's what I call a 7-day lockdown challenge for us to live large during this time. And number one is this. Reach out to 7 people with a word of prayer and encouragement. Find ways to live beyond yourself. So reach out to 7 people with a word of prayer and encouragement. Secondly, read Mark's gospel for 7 minutes each day for 7 days. You'll get through the whole gospel, even have had time to reflect on it if you did that. If you just read the gospel in one sitting, it takes about 35 minutes. This will get you right through. So just read Mark's gospel for 7 minutes each day for 7 days. What's this really doing? Well, if you really want to live large, it comes when you magnify Jesus in your life. And there's no way like magnifying Jesus in your life than reading more about him and being in his presence. And then thirdly, if you've got a moment, dream a little bit or identify the mountains. Even think about the fears and then think about your first steps. So do this. List 7 hills or mountains you want to climb in the next 7 months. List 7 hills or mountains that you want to climb in the next 7 months. And make sure that some of them are growth-oriented. Dream a little bit. And then, once again, share them with a close confidant. It could be that there's going to be some things which come to you for the first time. But that's good, because when was the last time you did something for the first time? And then see this as an adventure. Mountains, if you face them right, can be scaled and climbed. You see great summit and he'll call you to live large and beyond yourself. And there is the thrill of having achieved something great as God has led you and been with you. in these times, I believe God, as much as we are locked down, calls us to live beyond ourselves in new and fresh ways. And that'll be so healthy for us. You know, Sir Edmund Hillary, the great mountain climber who scaled with Sherpas the Mount Everest, the first one to do this, he said this: "All of my life, I've been afraid of having nothing to do, having no challenges to meet, being bored. Life has been a battle against boredom, but I've been quite good at thinking up adventures and carrying them out." So friends, what is it that God is calling you to scale? What is calling you beyond yourself? Live large and take on the lockdown challenge. Let us be in prayer before we break into communion. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for you are good. Your presence is all around us. We magnify you, Lord, in our lives. And we thank you that in you there is no mountain which cannot be scaled. Lord, I pray for those who are dealing with mountains that are very difficult for them, and it could be a health or financial challenge. It could be an anxiousness which sits with them because of what's going on. Or whatever it is, Lord, I pray that they might know that with you, they can overcome it. And Lord, I pray also that you would reveal mountains that seem like kingdom assignments given to us, goals that we can reach for and achieve, a project that we can do which will glorify you. Lord, each one of us has been put on this earth for a purpose, to reach our potential in you and to live large. And Lord, as you give those to us, may we not be full of fear, but courage, godly courage, to live it out for you and for your purposes. Lord, you have so much for us, and we want to live according to the truths and the promises and the potential that you have for us, your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Friends, as we go into sharing Holy Communion together, I just am so grateful that our Lord, who longs to be the largest part of our lives, comes and graces us just where we are. He calls us to live in his presence in all that we do. Of course, the scriptures describe him as the great I am. He comes to us in Jesus. He has saved us through the redeeming power of the cross, and his presence is always with us, and the Holy Spirit fills us afresh. We live for Christ. And I pray that God's presence will be with every family, in every home, for those who are coming in and entering in to this Holy Communion. And so we remember the one, the cornerstone, the one who is at the center of every family, of everyone who is tuning in here, the one who has given up his life for all. Through one man, all of us have been given the opportunity to be saved into this incredible union, communion with a God, our Heavenly Father. And so we remember this sacrament of Holy Communion. And it was on the night that our Lord was betrayed, after supping with his friends, the disciples, he'd been speaking about what it meant to be a disciple, to live in the kingdom, for the kingdom to come to earth. He described that the full way that that was going to happen really was through his broken body and his blood shed for each of us. After that supper, he took bread and blessed it, giving thanks, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Come and eat of it. And as you do, remember me." Oh, friends, oh, that we would remember Jesus in all that we do, in all that we are. His body broken for us, that we might live according to him. And after that, eaten, he then took the cup, and giving thanks, he blessed it, saying, "This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Come and drink of it, and as you do, remember me." Friends, these were freely given to us, God's gift of grace. He invites all of us to come and eat of this meal. And wherever you are, whether you are on your own or whether you're in a family group, then I encourage you to invite the presence of Christ into your home through the broken bread and the cup shed. And we do this and we remember Jesus and we will continue to live for him until all things are brought to completion in the Lord's timing. May you know the good grace, the presence, the love and the purpose that Jesus gives to all of us who call upon his name. And may we know his saving love and the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our homes. Let us be in prayer, Lord. We thank you that we can share in Holy Communion together. I thank you, Lord, that you are the God who is in all and through all. Lord, I pray for every family in Hope Valley, that they might know your goodness and your grace. Lord, I pray that they would know you as the center and as the pillar of their family. There is no other name which is greater than the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for our community as we together work through the impacts of a lockdown. And Lord, we just know that you are sovereign and have things all in your hand. And we trust you once more with our lives. And not only this, Lord, we ask that you fill us with power to be the people of God, witnessing to the glorious truths of our faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So wherever you are now, partake in this meal together.